needs to present an update on the status of the conservation element, and perhaps during the updates we can cover if that's going to happen today or some other day, so we can sort of build our plans around it. The other issue that I raised that I don't know whether anyone wants to take up on or not, I've already sort of made the case for doing so, is to better understand the issue of when a private consultant sits in that chair and is quote-unquote acting as staff. As you know, I for one found it unusual because I'm very well aware of the training staff goes through to be worthy of serving the public, and I have no idea what training other people go through when they simply say, I'm acting as staff. And so if there is interest on your commission to have some sort of a study session or at least a briefing during a planning staff update, I for one would very much welcome it. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Is there anyone else who wishes to address the commission? You just hand it to Warren. That'll be great. Thank you. Yes. If you could state your name, please.
Yes, my name is Nell Langford, and I live in Pismo Beach. And I'm here to announce that there's a group forming to try to get a safe beach in Oceano. And if anybody's interested, you can go to safebeachnow@aol.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one.
That more at a subsequent staff update, subsequent Planning Commission meetings staff update section. Just to go on to respond to Eric's comment about the presence or absence, rather, of James Caruso to give an update on the conservation element. Eric, James was here at the last meeting and did that during staff updates. I'm not sure where you were. But he's already done it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And then on the his question about when are we going to respond to his questions about how and when we use consultants as an extension of staff, we will be responding. It's just that I didn't have time to organize a response for today's meeting, but we will be responding back at a subsequent meeting soon. That's what I have for staff updates. Matt, did you have anything? Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
That'd be all right at this
certainly
point. And on our next meeting, the 22nd, of course, we're going to have the study session on ag and open space elements.
Yes.
Will the specific items be in the agenda so people know what we're going to talk about, what areas we're going to?
Yes.
Because I've been asked by several people if cluster divisions are going to be discussed at that meeting or at a later meeting.
You're asking me to operate from my memory, but what we're scheduling for you to discuss on the 22nd are the top ranked policies.
Yeah.
When we took those votes, and those were policies 6, 8, and 24.
Okay.
And 6 was visitor serving uses in the agricultural area. 8 was intensive agriculture, you know, processing, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And 24 is the ag land conversion policies. So those materials will be in the packet for you to review and read, and that's the focus of the discussion. Then it'll be up to your commission if you want to schedule another study session at a subsequent meeting to go to the next rank of policies, and the ag cluster policies are in the next rank.
Okay.
So my anticipation is that you will probably use up the allotted 2 hours with the first three policies because there's some meaty things there.
Okay.
And I would recommend that you do, if you have an interest in discussing the ag cluster policies, and I believe that you do, that you then direct we schedule that at an upcoming meeting.
Right. So I would rather not, if you don't publicize the cluster part of it, that we not get into it because there's interest in attending.
In the material that I've submitted for the agenda, there's absolutely no mention of
okay.
The ag cluster policy is being discussed on the 22nd.
Okay.
But again, it's up to the commission. The commission can do what they will. But, you know, the material we've included in the packet and what we've been telling the public is to anticipate that you're discussing 6, 8, and 24.
Okay. Very good.
And Mr. Hope, just to follow, am I on or not on?
I can hear you.
Green light has to be on.
My green light's on and my red light's off. So.
You're doing good, Dad.
Mr. Hogan, just to clarify, I think before...
Tap on it and see.
I'm tapping.
There we go.
Tap on the middle part and see if you're...
Here it goes. Thanks.
Just cycle the buttons.
What key? It's kind of like hitting restart on your computer.
That's it.
Just keep hitting mute until it's not. Mr. Hogan, we had mentioned before when we talked about the Ag Policy Workshop that we had all submitted our priorities, but we never actually saw what, you know, everybody's collective priorities, how they ranked out. But that's going to be included.
Actually, I did give that to you in the packet for November 14th when you had continued it to that day.
Okay, great. And then,
so you have seen it previously. I'm giving it to you again.
Okay, true.
Ellie, the packets for the 22nd haven't gone out yet?
No, probably today.
So you'll see it in your,
okay,
in your
so,
packet for the next meeting.
And so we'll have the opportunity to maybe revisit the ranking and for whatever we need to do.
It's That's your great. Study session.
So I just had one more follow-up question. At our last meeting, when Mr. Greening raised the question about the consultants, I believe... the response was that we'd have a report back today. I understand you didn't have time to do it,
no.
But I'm wondering if we can confirm that you might have time to do it by the next meeting, just so that the public.
That's my plan
for next meeting. Okay, that's great.
Just so you know, the department's management team has been pretty busy getting the budget proposal together.
I can fully sympathize,
and I apologize that I didn't have a report, but I want to talk to a couple other managers and
yeah.
And give you an organized response rather than off the top of my head.
It's perfectly understandable. I just didn't kind of want to leave the response time open-ended if we had an opportunity to nail it down. Thank you.
Oops.
You too.
Now, yes. I had a couple of questions, too, following up from last meeting. I heard some questions last meeting about that you... excuse me. Thanks.
Before we leave this... You know, I just... Hang on to that one. Before we leave that, I think there was issues about the final, but then again, perhaps phasing might have been appropriate, and this was looking, maybe this has to go off to a study session or something, where we open a business for use, but it's not completed, it's conditional use permit, you know, the phasing, is it, did we properly phase this one to get the screening in at the appropriate time? And, you know, I understand that's a very complex question, but I was hoping to get some thoughts on it.
And we'll do that. By the way, it's also common to bond for certain improvements to allow final, and that's just what I need to have some look into. But we will do that.
And just the other one that I thought maybe we'd get some response to was the issue with the conformity report appeal period that sounds like has been an ongoing issue and I'm not too familiar with yet. But is that coming to us or somehow in the discussion?
That's actually on the list that the Planning Commission established in 2006 for study session items and wasn't ranked as high in priority as some others like the Ag Policy Review. So that we still have that to come, and I think that would be the proper forum to discuss it. But I will tell you, administratively, I've asked staff to make every effort that we work on these conform reports so that the determination is made to produce an appeal date that occurs after the Planning Commission agenda that the item is on. Hopefully we don't have too many more of those already in the works. And my direction is that we avoid it as much as we can through working with the requesting agency on when their application is actually complete and when the 40-day clock starts. And I think we can probably avoid that situation that we had last time, which I personally found embarrassing. And my hope is to avoid it. In terms of a deeper, in-depth discussion of the conformity report process, I recommend that we defer that until we do the actual study session. And one of the things we're going to talk about at the retreat is your commission's already asked me to update the study session's status list, and we can talk about that, and we can talk about scheduling it, moving it up on the priority list.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Sure. Gene brought up clusters, and I think he was referring to it in the in the ag cluster realm. But I'm hearing a lot of conversations about clusters and open space parcels. And I know the community of Napomo has sort of viewed clusters negatively. Other areas have been more positive. But I'm seeing, at least in Templeton, the Templeton Area Advisory Group is now kind of coming down on clusters. I don't see that as a solution to some land use situations. And that's kind of disappointing. So in our, I'm not sure where to go with this, but I think we need to look at that, open space parcels, how they're dealt with, the issues that we're going to create when we create an open space parcel. And I think Ms. Christie was talking to that on one of the recent Templeton projects, the tennis court one, you know, what that open space parcel would be and how it would be dealt with. And I just bring that up because it's out there and we need to talk about it at some point. The other issue I have is the website agendas. We have a project on this agenda that I knew the community would be interested in, and so I was hoping to get the staff report. And I go to the website for the Planning Commission or the Planning Department, and then I try to get the agenda, but it only shows up, it only had a picture of January, so I wanted a February thing. Well, I couldn't get to February until February actually occurred. But then I was talking to Ellie on the phone, and she said, oh no, you can do it this way. And it was extremely complicated, but you can get there. I don't know, it didn't have to be that complicated. And I'd try to recollect how to do it, but I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to wing it without having the screen in front of me. So maybe Ellie could tell us so the public could find this.
I'll thank you. You make me feel so much better because I had exactly the same problem. So maybe we can get an update or something.
Do you want it now or without a screen in front of me?
Well, no, we don't want the update. Is there a way to someone to look at our website to make it more user-friendly, I believe the bottom line is.
There you go, that's it.
So if staff could sort of take a look at the website and see if it's just us as technologically challenged or if there are ways to make it more user-friendly.
So I'm not sure who's on this one.
Was that a public access easement?
Yeah. Or? It does go across to the Clydesdale Ranch, and there is a commonly used trail through the ranch there. And so I didn't see anything about wording for that easement.
And probably since all we're doing here is, and Mr. Hogue will correct me if I'm wrong here, we're just determining that this proposed abandonment is in fact in conformity with the general plan, and so that's all we got.
Okay, so then you don't care about those details for this for these
right.
purposes.
That
okay.
sounds
Thanks.
Pretty pertinent when they get to the board.
Okay.
You might follow up with the advisory council to make sure that those concerns get communicated directly to the board because they have the ability to require an easement to be recorded, which I don't. We're told we don't have the ability to do that.
Okay, so not relevant here. Thank you.
Well, relevant, but maybe whatever.
You are to
any
our
other
maybe.
I just might point out as an aside, Warren Hogue again, that. Typically on an abandonment, when the board holds the actual hearing on abandoning the right-of-way, that's when they typically deal with those details. I don't know the specifics of this case.
All right. We do have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Rose?
Yes.
Commissioner Malskow?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
Commissioner Christie?
Yes.
Chairperson Rapa?
Yes. Will the clerk introduce item number one, please?
Item number one is a hearing to consider a request by Richardson for a variance, minor use permit, coastal development permit. It is in the community of Los Osos, county file number D000. Yeah. 480P and D010107V. Carrie Brown is a project manager.
Mr. Hope, did you want to comment on this item? since it's recommended for continuance?
I'd be happy to, and my comment is that we're recommending that it be continued to March 22nd.
All right, thank you.
I don't know if there's anything else to...
Is there anyone in the audience that came to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission. Is there a motion to continue this item?
I move we continue.
We're looking to the commissioner from the district to do that. I'll second that motion.
And the date is March 22nd?
Yes.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Would the clerk introduce item number two, please?
Item two is a hearing to consider a request by Tomasini for a development plan coastal development permit. It is located in the community of Napomo, in the South County Coastal Planning Area, county file number DRC 2005-00187. Marsha Lee is a project manager.
Good morning. Marsha Lee, staff planner. The proposed project is located on the south side of Highway 1 in the Calendar Garrett area of Napomo. The site is within the industrial land use category, as shown on this map. North of the industrial area is residential suburban category. The aerial here shows Highway 1 at the center of the screen. The project site is outlined in red, and it is currently vacant. This is a photo of the property as seen from Highway 1. The applicant and staff have worked with Caltrans to ensure site distance for access driveway onto Highway 1. This is a photo looking at the property to the east of the site, and this is the property to the west. The site plan shows three buildings arranged in a U configuration with landscaping in the front adjacent to Highway 1 to soften views from the highway. A caretaker unit is located on top of Building C at the rear of the property. The uses include contractor offices and storage for vehicles and equipment. The project is conditioned to limit hours of operation to minimize noise effects to surrounding properties. There is also a outdoor lunch area located here in back of Building B, which will enhance the working environment. This slide shows a...
Yes, I have a couple. Page 2-5, the Community Advisory Group recommended addition of architectural features such as gables and awnings on Building C. Looking at the renderings, I didn't see that happened. Was that overlooked or was not feasible, or I'm wondering what happened there?
My recollection was that there were canopies on Building C, but maybe they didn't get in the drawings. The owner and agent are here that they could shed some more light on that. We can also condition that to make sure that they are included.
Okay, then let's
include
that. Another question, item 15, the site shall be surfaced with all-weather surface concrete or asphalt paving. That's quite a large area. I wondered if there was any consideration of a permeable surface to allow water to filter through, or is this something done by Public Works when they review the drainage plan?
The project is conditioned for drainage plan. There is the opportunity for additional pervious surfaces mm-hmm. around the landscaping in the parking lot.
Okay. So, Public Works, do you, if it's feasible, do you make a recommendation that be done in the, or how's that work?
Richard Marshall, Department of Public Works. Certainly, alternatives to asphalt or concrete would be acceptable to us. We generally don't regulate what surface, Public Works doesn't regulate what surface is used interior to property. But in this case, the effect is the same either way, because all of the runoff from the paved surface is being directed to a subsurface drainage facility that will then recharge the groundwater.
Okay.
So it turns out the same either way.
Okay.
But the way this condition is worded, it sounds to me like they have to pave the entire surface. And
it sounds that way to me as well.
And then you said landscaping, and so...
So perhaps some clarification could be... Yeah. We'll work on that
okay.
while you consider the item.
All right, thank you. That's all I have right now.
I had one question. On page 2-2, under ordinance compliance, there's a proposed zero-foot side setback and a 15-foot rear setback. And on page 225, there's a letter from CDF talking about building setbacks, and it says a minimum 30-foot setback shall be provided from all property lines. So I'm just wondering about the contradiction between what CDF is asking for regarding setbacks and what's being proposed with the project.
Yes, I understand. We had subsequent conversations with CDF. I asked them specifically that question, and there is, I'll look for it while in a minute here. Within the document, I thought that there is a...
Page
223. 223, thank you.
Very cryptic comment, though.
yes, that does say that the zero setback, because we did go back to them since their first comment.
And so you've gone back to them to alter the setback? Or you've gone back to CDF to alter their concern about the setback?
Their concern was alleviated per discussion with CDF.
Well, we're saying, let me tag on to that, and I had the same point to comment on. It appears to me like CDF came out and said first time 30 feet, and then somehow somebody talked to them, and they bought off with the 0 foot. I would expect that to be analyzed in the staff report to say that while it was, you know, CDF had said something initially because of this, that, and the other thing, a discussion was held, and zero was okay for the following reason. I don't see anybody from CDF here today because I wanted to. Mm-hmm.
Well, and can I just say, I'm looking at this, and even when you pointed it out, I'm looking at it, I'm going, I don't see anything about setbacks because I'm going, it looks like this computer-generated page that says to modify a condition, click update condition. I had read that and thought it had been included by accident. I never even saw the little thing in the window that said setbacks of 0 feet okayed until just this moment. But it raises another question because the 0 foot setback only referred to the side setback. And one could assume that if a 0 foot setback was okay, a 15-foot setback would be okay. But I don't know. Maybe there are issues with side setbacks in relation to other buildings that are different from the rear setback at zero. I just
kind of room to play.
Okay, and then on page 29, condition 17, prior to occupancy or final inspection, applicants should meet all requirements, Environmental Health Department, including but not limited to the submittal of a business plan. Why is that? First time I've seen that. Why do we do that?
What is the connection between Environmental Health Department and a business plan?
I was having trouble with that.
It should say hazardous business plan, hazardous material business plan, I believe.
Hazardous materials plan?
Yes.
So business really is inappropriate?
It's a typo.
We get those all.
Okay.
I do those too.
And we're going to replace the words business plan with what words?
Hazardous materials plan.
Hazardous materials plan. Okay. Now that's logical.
Are there other questions of staff?
I would just like to express my gratitude for the landscape plan that was replacing the pepper trees with native drought tolerance. Good call there.
Okay, any other questions? Seeing none, this is a public hearing item. Does the applicant or applicant's representative want to come forward? Thank you. If you would give your name for the record, and then when you're finished,
does this work?
Yeah. It does. And then when you're finished, if you could fill out a slip in the back, we do request everybody who speaks before us to sign in.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll introduce myself.
You need to speak into the mic.
I'll introduce myself and our team. I'm Doug Fainter, Associate of Detmer Architecture. The principal, Randy Detmer, who's here today, will be the architect of record on this project. Our client, Dante Tomasini, and you've described the project of the two 5,000 square foot buildings, one 6525, and one caretaker's unit on the second floor. And the project location, I guess we all know, that was described very well by Marsha Lee. And so we're just here today to address your questions, and I can start by answering Eugene's question. You asked about the gable. And if you look on the elevation, the Napomo Land Use Commission, when we went to that meeting, the original rear building was just a slope building this way with two gables on the ends that you couldn't see. So what we did is punched out the center with the two garage doors and created a gable there and did a little accent in the gable area above. And, of course, you can't see it from the road, but in front of each access door is that same awning that you see on building A and B.
Okay.
The other question you had, porous surfaces, that would be fine to do some type of porous surfaces. I like that idea. And make it a decorative type, you know, stripes or something in pavers where there is the asphalt and then walking areas of pavers that are porous surfaces. But as the Public Works said, we do have a retention basin where really all the water is drained to that and then let out to the underground water. Then the other question was...
dealt with the setback issue.
Setback, yeah, the setback issue. The initial fire report, when they send out that form, you know, it is pretty much a generic form. So all projects have that. You know, they have a list of things there to be discussed. And so we had a meeting or a few meetings with CDF. And when we showed them the, you know, looked up the zoning and in the industrial land use category, a zero setback is fine in that zoning. And then the other issue would be for the California Building Code requires, so if we have a zero setback, a type of construction. And so that construction, how we've designed that to be a one-hour firewall with no penetrations, and then so that was reviewed by the fire department, and they said that's what will be required. Plus, you know, the whole list of other stuff that's on there as far as ladders and non-flammable roofing materials, stuff like that.
And this, to help me out, and I wish CDF was here, but evidently they got bigger things that are doing today. Now, this 30 feet, the way I understand it, exists so that you have control to make sure that there's no flammable material and you clear the brush away, but because you don't have control of this 30 feet because you're on the lot line.
Right.
Now you're being required to make a special
wall. So it would be, and that's part of the California Building Code, which is a one-hour firewall. So non-flammable material, one-hour rated, no penetrations. So in other words, no doors and windows where fire can go through. The main thing, the 30-foot setback that I think they initially send it out on every project. I mean, even on projects that aren't even big enough, if you took a 30-foot setback around the property, there wouldn't be enough room for a building, is for access. And so when she saw the plan of how her trucks can get through a 20-foot driveway and drive around, that's, I think, the main course. And then also she stipulated that because of the and not really because...
Okay with it, but I'm just trying to picture. This is, you said that zero setbacks is okay with CDF in this type of zoning, which is industrial.
Correct.
Are the other properties around you zoned industrial as well?
Yes, the whole area is in the industrial land use category.
So I'm picturing then if everybody gets a zero-foot setback, I mean, that seems like it would be a problem irrespective of the firewalls because you're going to have buildings basically built lot line to lot line.
In a zoning like the city, every building here is a zero setback. In other words, a building touches a building touches a building. And so that's how I'd answer that. I mean, there's an example of where you see that, right?
The 15 feet in the rear.
Well, if you're going to speak, could give us your name.
Dante Tomasini.
The reason we had the 15 set rear setback you're asking about also mm-hmm. instead of the 30 is because there is a dwelling that's within 50 feet of the property line to the rear. So that's why we had the 15 feet there.
Okay.
That was a CDF compromise. But to both adjacent properties are already used as industrial, and they can also build zero lot line to answer that question, I guess.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there other questions of the applicant or the owner?
Yeah, I had one. The discussion of wastewater, I heard, and I'm sure Environmental Health is going to make you do the right thing, but I see we're, in one case they call it a deep pit, in another case they call it a deep well as opposed to a septic tank. What the heck is a deep well?
You can.
And where does this, and evidently this is part of some larger entity, wastewater providing entity?
Where we use the pits and that is basically that's for the leach system. So you still have a septic tank since there's no city sewer. Then what we do is we run it into the tank, and then out of the tank it goes into pits or wells that are drilled rather than dug with the rock. They're actually a hole that's drilled, you know, deep into the earth's crust.
Okay, and that is just your project, or is this part of some larger...
No, that's just for this project.
Okay.
Other questions of the applicant or of the owner?
Just... I wasn't clear if somehow that conflicts that septic with the underground drainage. There's enough separation, Richard, between that septic well and the underground runoff?
Yes, that was in our soils report by GSI. Ron Church did that, and one of the parameters are that, because we did have a design, that was a revision, one of the many revisions that we did with Marcia on the site plan. We did have the retention basin underneath the parking going lengthwise, but the code requires 100-foot separation. So we have the septics in front of Building C and underneath the landscape area and the initial entrance going parallel to Highway 1 is the retention basin. That's underground. And so now that separates them by like almost 300 feet from end to end. Yeah.
So that's standard and common?
I concur.
Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Is there any?
Madam Chair, may I interrupt a moment?
Okay.
I can be a little more specific on the side setback issue if you want me to, or we can save that for later. I got the ordinance section up.
Okay, I just wanted to kind of complete the public hearing, and then we'll do that.
All right.
Is there anyone else here to speak from the public on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission. And Mr. Hogue?
I'm sorry if I was out of turn. The normal setback requirement in the coastal zone land use ordinance within urban and village areas is for sites over 1 acre is 30 feet, except where modified by CDF, except that the section goes on, except where provided by further subsections, and there is a specific provision for commercial and industrial categories. No side setback is required in the commercial or industrial land use categories, and there's a couple of exceptions, but the key one here is where required by the Uniform Building Code. And what the applicant's architect was telling you is that the building code allows you to build on property line if you have a certain level of construction, and that's what they propose. So it is a direct provision of the Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance to have a zero side setback. This doesn't apply to front, and it doesn't apply to rear, just to side. And I think CDF's rather cryptic comment, or CAL FIRE's rather cryptic comment, was simply to just acknowledge that that was allowed and that the building code will take care of the fire safety aspects of it through construction type.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Hogue? Is there a motion or an action by the commission?
Madam Chair, I have...
Oh, I'm sorry, Richard.
Feedback surface approved by... Department of Planning and Building, and then outside the parenthesis, I would continue the sentence to say, except for those areas designated for landscaping. I didn't know if you had other reasons it needed to be concrete or asphalt, but if not, then that's my recommendation.
Matt Jansen, planning staff. No, Richard, that works for us. I just want to hear from the commissioners if that meets the intent of what they were going
for. Yeah,
because we don't explicitly say, for example, pavers or other pervious surfaces. Yeah. If that's okay with you, that's okay with us.
Okay. Would it be clearer to add, for example, pavers or something? Well, does that help?
I'd like to start nudging us towards incorporating permeable or semi-permeable surfaces in these projects the way we've sort of nudged our way along towards, lighting restrictions to, require downcast lighting and stuff. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's anything applicants object to, and it's something that's generally acknowledged as a positive trend for water quality, and so...
Doesn't the wording suggested by Richard do that?
Yeah, that's my feeling.
Well, or other all-weather surfaces. You could still, if the cheapest, easiest way to get to compliance is simply to pave the whole surface with asphalt, that could happen under this wording. I'm not suggesting that that's what this applicant would do or wants to do, but in the interest of getting into the habit of crafting conditions that actually begin to incorporate some permeable all-weather materials, it might be worth going through a little extra effort to get there.
What do you have wording you would suggest, or does the commissioner from the district have comments on this?
Well, I like the wording that the Public Works came up with, so...
I would agree with Commissioner Christie. We need to push applicants in this direction, but I don't think at this project we ought to carve out 100 square feet needs to be this and it shall be that kind of paver, because we obviously are not qualified to do that and every site is different. But I think what both Commissioner Christie and I, and I bet a couple other votes there, are for this idea of let's not pave everything. Let's, within the restrictions of the ADA requirements and all those sorts of things, and recognizing every site has different soil characteristics, let's not pave everything, but let's not micromanage this particular project. We'll leave that
to you. So we'll allow for a permeable surface to be used here, and maybe as staff works with other projects, they can get a little bit stronger in their recommendations.
Right, yeah. So you ready for motion?
Are there other comments or questions? I think so.
I will move to adopt the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with the applicable provisions of CEQA. Number 2, approved development plan, coastal development permit, DRC 2005-00187, based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B as modified in number 11 and 15, as read into the record by Public Works.
And 17.
Number 17, strike the word business and add hazard material.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it, and I think it was hazardous material plan.
Well, we didn't change plan. We're only changing business.
Ah, you're right.
Okay.
Picky, my goodness.
I'm seconding that.
All right. Is there any further discussion on this item? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Malsko?
Yes.
Commissioner Rose?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
Commissioner Christie?
Yes.
Chairperson Rappa?
Yes. All right. Would we please introduce item number 3?
Item 3 is a hearing to consider a request by the County of Monterey Parks Department. The proposed project is within the recreation land use category and is located at Lake Nazmiano Resort. County file number DRC 2006-00112, Elizabeth Cavanaugh is project manager.
Good morning, Chairman Rappa, Planning Commission. I'm Elizabeth Cavanaugh, County Planning Staff. Today you're being asked to consider a proposal by the County of Monterey Water Resource Agency and its conditional use permit DRC 2006-00112. staff's recommending that you approve this project based on the findings and conditions listed in your staff report. The proposed project is located in the Lake Nacimiento area. Newer, put in some permanent restrooms, some signage at the entrance, and a dump area for mobile homes, motorhomes. In addition, they're also just requesting to repave and restripe the existing parking lot that I showed you in the previous slide. Here's the site plan. Again, here's the kiosk, the fish cleaning station, the new restroom facilities, the entry sign, repaving the existing parking lot, and keeping the landscaping that's already existing on the parking lot. Staff is recommending that you approve this project and adding a following condition, which I'll read into the record. Prior to issuance of a building permit, the applicant shall provide the planning department with a letter from a biologist listed on the county list of biologists that verifies there are no bald eagles within view of the project site. Staff has looked at the site, had the county biologist look at the site. There are no bald eagles on the site now. Based on the current level of activity in this area being the main visitor-serving area of Lake Nacimiento, we don't anticipate there being bald eagles on the site, although we wanted to ensure that if they were on site, they wouldn't be disrupted by this minor construction activities. And I'll be available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
You have the additional condition listed as number 11.
Yes.
We have a number 11, if I'm understanding it correctly, on 3-6. Is it the idea that we would add this and renumber?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Are there questions of staff? Other questions?
Right. I would have one, and we'll start with the new condition number 11. Maybe I'm nitpicking here, but it seems like we're really after is no bald eagles nesting. In fact, we see one fly by today. That's not going to stop the project, is it?
If they were flying by, they would be more transient. And so if you saw them there and they left during that biology, review of the site, then I don't think that would stop the project. I think if they are permanent residents there, or if they're habitating there or locating their nest there, yeah, that would.
Right, I would think, and maybe somebody else could chime in here, wouldn't we put, nesting, or would that be the appropriate words?
Can you pull up that condition?
There are no active bald eagle nests within view of the project site might be a more appropriate.
May I say something? Right. Julie Elias in Planning Department. I'm the biologist that visited the site several weeks ago. The reason that we put that wording is sometimes bald eagles have regular roosting sites that they come back to time and again. They also have night roosts. So this would cover both nests and roosting sites.
Okay. So it's clear to you that we're talking about nesting and roosting, but an occasional flyby is okay.
That's correct.
We need to be checking on this project. It's the fish cleaning station. There may be some goodies there for them.
Well, we wouldn't want to say nesting or roosting.
We can say nesting or roosting sites to make it more clear.
Wouldn't that be prudent to exclude the possibility of a flyby?
I would favor that.
Okay, so there are no bald eagles nesting or roosting within view of the project site.
May I follow up with a question on that? The project area is a area that's been used for 30 years. But adjacent to that very close, is all the trees and everything. I mean, if you go in there and you drive down the entrance road. So when you talk about, what does it say here? Or within view, I guess I wonder, I mean, because I've been there lots of times, and so I'm pretty familiar with the site. I would expect that there might be in the off season when there aren't, because it is a seasonal resort, nests or roosts or whatever that are adjacent to this to be revised parking area and visitor serving area. I just wonder to what extent
That's correct. When we visited the site, we looked in the adjacent trees around the property site, and so that is why the wording within view was originally put in there, because if they are on adjacent properties but using a roosting site, that where they could get disturbed by the project activities. So you would want to include language of nesting or roosting sites within view of the project site.
So, Commissioner Rappert, are you saying that
Parks Department has done eagle surveys along the lake for years and years, and as the history that they've been taking eagle surveys, there have not been any located in this area. They tend to be more further north and further west of this area.
Yeah, it's pretty noisy in that area.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Are there other questions or comments from staff? Or?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Condition four, the fire safety one, which has the usual kind of like stock language requirements, shall include, not limited, those outlined in the fire safety plan prepared by CDF for this project and dated January 19, 2007. I couldn't find that, but I did find on page 37 a email saying that this project will not be subject to CDF review. So what's up with that? Who provides fire protection there?
CDF provides fire protection there. They reviewed this project and determined that the existing fire safety measures are already there and doesn't need any additional requirements.
Okay, so where is this fire safety plan dated January 19th?
That's the letter stating that they don't have to make any changes that you referred to in your comment on page 3-7.
He wants to see the plan, as I think what he's saying.
Oh.
Am I correct?
Well,
the fire.
Maybe I'm not really bright here, but this doesn't seem to make any sense to me. Now, I understand that they didn't ask for a new fire hydrant or some ladder going somewhere. I understand that. But this wording here doesn't make sense to me. Maybe I'm missing it.
I can delete that condition if you like. The fire safety plan came in the 70s or 80s when this area was actually created. And so it's not relevant. I use that as a placeholder. This was a project that we wanted to get through quickly for the County of Monterey. And I put that in there waiting for a fire safety letter from CDF, and then they determined that they didn't need anything in addition.
I think where the confusion is coming from, you know, a person reading this sentence would be led to believe that there is such a thing as a fire safety plan, which has been prepared by CDF and County Fire and dated January 19, 2007. But you're saying there is no such plan. That date was referring back to when the project was proposed. Is that what you're saying?
No, that date's the email date, saying that they don't need anything in addition. So I was using the email as a replacement for the fire safety plan.
I think we ought to delete the darn thing, because otherwise we're referring to something that really doesn't exist, and that's crazy.
We can do that.
Now, but before we delete it, just give me the assurance that the fire safety plan for the original project still matters, still whatever fire hydrants and ladders that they had to have for that thing and smoke detectors, they're still going to have.
Yes, I had a conversation with CDF before they sent that email saying that everything out there is sufficient.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I would suggest you simply just delete the second sentence of Condition 4 and leave the first one in there. That way you still have a condition that says they have to comply with CDF requirements
as they may be.
Good.
I like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Other questions for staff?
I just have one question. Could you put the aerial back up, Ms. Kavanaugh, that shows the whole parking area? So you said this is a repaving project. So this is pavement that we're looking here now, asphalt?
Yes.
And this is part of this project is going to be repaving. So can you delineate the area that's going to be repaved? Is it the entire parking lot? Is it just the areas around the new building construction?
It
What's the extent of the new paving?
I believe it's the entire parking lot.
The entire parking lot. So, pursuant to the conversation we just had about permeable surfaces or semi-permeable surfaces, given that this is a natural area, given that there's landscaping in the parking lot, which looks like at least some of it might be native landscaping, and given its proximity to the lake, and also given that this is a public agency that's making the request, it's not a private applicant, I'd like to talk about whether or not this might be one of those projects where it is appropriate for us to make a straightforward condition about using all-weather semi-permeable surfaces for the repaving project.
I wonder, and don't know the answer to this question, and maybe I'll let the applicant answer that, if placing a permeable surface over an impermeable surface would accomplish what you're trying to accomplish.
I would also comment that the lake is right there.
Yeah.
And
right.
Well, if you're familiar with the types of uses that go on here, there are a lot, unfortunately, there are probably a lot of
runoff barrier because there's not only the asphalt itself, but all the cars that are parking on it create all kinds of toxic, noxious substances that, you know, are going to leach into the lake, which is right there. So we can talk about that maybe after the applicant.
Condition number 10 addresses that using the best management practices for water runoff.
Right. All right. Other questions by the commission? Hearing none, we will open this to the public. Is there an applicant here that would like to speak? Again, I would like to reiterate that it would be helpful if people filled out a white slip, but since you haven't, if you can do that when you're finished, but if you would give your name for the record, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, I'm Ron Sessions. I'm the project architect, and the representative of the Monterey County Parks, Randy Korsgaard, is here. To address the question, the asphalt work that's going to be done as a cap seal, which is basically 2 inches of asphalt over an existing surface. And right now, if I don't know whether you can...
You need to speak into the mic, sir.
I don't know whether you can see the pointer, but the way the drainage works on the site, this is the high point of the parking lot, and the drainage sheet flows over the parking lot to this area. And this is a depression right at the base of the foothill where the water actually is allowed to percolate into the soil right there. So that's the way the system works, and we weren't planning to alter that. So was there any other question there?
Where can you indicate where the lake is in relation to?
Sure.
Can we back up?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see. That's a better view of it.
Okay.
This is the lake right here. So right now there's a lower parking lot right here, and then the drainage swale is right along here.
Okay.
Can you hear me? The drainage swale is right along this edge.
So you're asserting that the yucky stuff that drains off of the existing parking lot goes to that vegetative swale and sort of gets absorbed there as opposed to free-flowing into the lake.
Exactly.
Aren't there buildings in between the drainage swale you're identifying? And the lake?
No.
Nothing right down in front there?
No.
They're to the south, I guess?
Well,
or
they're the buildings that we're proposing are just going
to
be
right. No, I'm talking about your proposed buildings. I'm talking just adjacent to the drainage swale that you've just identified for us right in there.
Yeah, exactly. There are some condominiums up on
that's top what I
of
thought.
Hill.
So in between the drainage swale and the lake, these condominiums exist.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
So you're not suggesting any changes to the existing setup, which is basically just using a natural vegetated area as a drainage swale?
Not at all.
But condition 10 here says that detergents, oils, grease, and other petroleum products and corrosive chemicals shall be separately collected, stored, and disposed of as required by law. That's a question for staff. Is a natural vegetated area being used as a drainage swale? Does that constitute collection, storage, and disposal as required by law?
It can, and I know I would like Public Works to further elaborate, but we are moving in the direction of of requiring developments per use this kind of drainage and runoff water runoff process. So, I think it can work, and I don't know if during the drainage plan review if Public Works would require something additional, but this is a direction we're moving towards.
Richard Marshall, Department of Public Works. My staff would probably consult with our expert, our county stormwater coordinator, on this. To me, it seems like it kind of depends on what's considered to be the site, is the way the condition is worded. Talks about these materials shall be filtered prior to leaving the site, but in a sense, the site reaches all the way to the lake. So maybe it should be made more specific prior to leaving the parking lot area and this swale that's being described. If it can all be collected in this swale and it just stops there and doesn't go any further, I think it does accomplish what's required. But this language has a little too much flexibility.
Well, I guess we're just...
Could we just let the applicant finish and then we'll come back with...
Yeah, I'm here primarily to answer questions. It's been very well presented, so any other questions that you have.
Is there anything else you wish to add about any concerns that we might have with off-site runoff or any plans you might have?
Maybe the park guy could weigh in. What's been your experience?
Condominium coming down and then along that hill, and if it went any farther, it would go into the lower parking lot and still run along that edge. I imagine if you had enough rain, of course, it could go farther, but generally that's where our drainage pattern is. I believe in the that corner of the parking lot where it drops down to the lower lot from the upper lot, I believe there is a concrete drainage facility with the catch sock there. I'd have to verify that for you, but when we do the drainage plan, we'll address that, whatever needs to be done, if there is an issue there.
Could you help identify the lower lot you're discussing?
I'm sorry. Where's your button? Where's the button? Okay. Okay, this is the upper lot. This is the project. This is the lower lot that went with phase one along with the new ramp. Okay? So all our drainage runs sheets across this lot and hits this hill. And then right here there is another structure for catch.
Oh, so you are not directing it down. You're directing it more toward the corner and then down toward that.
Well, it sheets all the way across the lot to this hill, this edge here. And these are the condos right here, as you're aware of. So it sheets along this hill, and then, like I say, there is a catch basin here that has the sock in it.
So you do have a catch basin with a filter.
There is a catch basin.
Thank you.
There.
I think you've answered our questions. Okay. Are there any other comments or that you wish to make?
No.
All right, thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak on this item? Seeing none, I would bring it back to the commission. I believe, Commissioner Christie, you had a question or something of Public Works?
The catch basin question answered it.
Okay.
I think we're done, gentlemen. Thank you.
There's no further discussion. I'm ready with a motion. And that would be that we approve conditional use permit DRC 2006-112 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B, noting that we added a new condition 11 as handed out today and renumbered the remaining ones. And the slight modification of that, we added, after bald eagles, we added nesting or roosting within view of the project site. And on condition 4, we deleted the second sentence. And that's my motion.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Any further discussion on the motion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Rose?
Yes.
Commissioner Christie?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
Commissioner Melskow?
Yes.
Chairperson Rappa?
Yes. Okay, it's 10 o'clock. We will take a 15-minute break. Hey. bald eagle could never be there with the roar of the boats and the rest of it. I could tell
you. They did another procedure where they went in to deaden
from like
nerves.
October. Okay, we call the Planning Commission back to order. May we have item number 4 introduced, please?
Item 4 is a hearing to consider request by Omkar Investments for a conditional use permit. It is located in the community of Templeton, county file number DRC 2005-00251, and Josh Lombard is the project manager.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Josh Lombard, planning staff. Before you today is a conditional use permit request by Omkar Investments for a conditional use permit to allow a two-story, 10,650-square-foot commercial building to be used for banking and similar commercial uses. The only proposed use at this time for the building is a drive-through bank, and there are two drive-through stalls that are proposed on the southeastern portion of the lot to accommodate that drive-through function. The project is located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Las Tablas Road and Las Posadas Lane, as you can see in this vicinity map. And the property is located within the commercial retail land use category, as you can see on this land use category map. The aerial image in front of you right now depicts the current state of the property. It's currently vacant, and most of the property is disturbed. This is a site plan of the proposed commercial building. The commercial building is outlined in red, as you can see on the site plan. And you can see the relationship of the parking and the drive-through stalls that are located here where my cursor is.
The Templeton design plan and the various guidelines, and I congratulate you on your analysis there. That's the kind of thing I expect to see, and I like to see it. Did a good job here. But one of them, VE3, site alteration and coverage, says to minimize grading and coverage with buildings and parking to 70% or less of each site. And getting down to the bottom line here, it's to do the limited size of the site, coverage is greater than 70%. How close are we?
Josh Lombard, I just put the site plan back up for your review. Most of the site is covered, as proposed, is covered with the commercial building, as you can see with that red outline, and then the proposed parking area and the drive-through stalls. There is a vegetated buffer along Las Tablas and Las Posadas Lane that's going to be vegetated, and we've conditioned that to be vegetated with drought-tolerant species. Staff struggles with that standard that's in the Templeton design plan because within commercial zones in Templeton, a lot of the proposals are to maximize the amount of development on those sites in the commercial area. And to accommodate all the uses, the parking uses, in this case, the drive-through facility, staff recognizes that meeting that 70% would really reduce the amount of area that they would be allowed to build on this site. So we've acknowledged that in this case, that they're proposing to build over that 70%. I don't have the specific calculation, and maybe the agent does have that, but we've recognized that the use as proposed is something that we as a department would like to support, even though it's greater than the standard in the Templeton design plan.
Okay, I'll be intrigued with the applicant's discussion of that, since he was the one of the people who wrote that particular guideline. So we'll see. His name appears on the Templeton design plans. We'll see how he addresses that. I also noticed there was quite a few other guidelines, and these are guidelines. In other words, they're not a planning area standard that we... Amen, amen, I say unto you, you have to meet this, that we didn't meet, and they were mostly about parking, and so I sent an email to the Templeton Area Advisory Group. They had reviewed this project, and I said, hey, the staff report's out, and that's where I got into this complication of trying to get the staff report through the website, but finally made it, thanks to Allie's help. And I wanted to point out to the advisory group that, you know, there were quite a few we didn't meet, so how do you, the community, feel about that? And it took a while, but I got an answer back, and they said they had no problems with it. They read the staff report, and they were satisfied with it. And I think so many of these things boil down to parking, and parking is an issue in the Las Tablas Posada Lane area. And so if I was to propose something that would reduce the parking, I might get tarred and feathered when I went home. So I won't do that. But one thing I would ask staff and the applicant, I know this lot is vacant now, but it's being used for parking. And so I'm thinking about circulation, and I see this site plan up here, and I don't really see any way that you could get from this project to the project to the south. And I can imagine, very good, somebody in one of these Posada Lane buildings, they want to go to the bank or whatever commercial retail facility will exist in. So, gee, it would really be stupid for them to have to, you know, get in their car and drive down Posada Lane and drive in. So is there some way we get a connection between there? I mean, the ideal thing would be to drive a car connection, but I'm sure Mr. Woodall is going to say that's impractical. But at least a pedestrian connection to the adjacent lot so people could, you know, dash to the bank without, you know, having to trip over some shrubbery or something like that. Do you know that possible? Was that thought of?
Staff did analyze that as part of the project-specific proposal. We were looking at meeting the Templeton design guidelines, and one of the design guidelines is providing an interconnection between adjacent sites. With the proposal as is, let me flip to the site plan. With the proposal as is, with the drive-through facility located at the southeastern portion of the lot here, we were reserved in requiring some type of interconnection between the southern site and this site because of the movements taking place of the cars coming in from Las Tablas or from Las Posadas and going through the drive-through. So we were reserved as far as making some type of car or some type of automobile connection, but we can let the applicant speak to whether or not they'd be.
It's only drive-through proposed at this time? There's no walk-in banking proposed at this time?
No, there is walk-in banking. I'm sorry. The drive-through component is just one of the components of the bank.
And okay,
let
so you can
the speak to walk it. Yes, in,
okay,
it's not just drive-through.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
Probably it's maybe better addressed to the applicant, but I also had some questions about access and the conflict with the design plan, too, which requests that access be on the lesser road, and this has the two accesses on both Las Tablas and Las Posadas. And somehow the explanation here is that because it's a drive-through bank, it needs the two entrances. I'm not completely clear on that necessity.
Okay. Does staff care to comment on that question?
No, I would defer that to the agent. They know more about the attorney movements, and maybe public work can elaborate after the agent speaks to it. To that.
Okay. Other questions? I do have one question. Can you put the site plan up and show myself at least where the main entrance to the bank is? I think I see it, but I just wanted you to point it out.
I believe there are two main entrances proposed, one on Las Tablas and one on Las Posadas. But once again, I can defer to the agent to specify that the locations of that. I see a puzzled look on your face.
Well, I guess
so. I believe there's one right here with this this pedestrian path right here from Las Tablas, and then also right here on Las Posadas.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further questions? All right, this is a public hearing. We would open it up to the applicant's representative, I believe.
Madam Chairman, members of the Commission, Tim Woodall with Pultz & Associates Architects, 3450 Broad Street. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today to present this project. I'd like to thank staff, the Community Service District, and the Templeton Area Advisory Group for their support of the project. We're pleased to be here to present this addition to the medical corridor on the Las Tobless Road within the community of Templeton. This is the second in a series of projects that we've designed for Sanjay and Smita Ganpale, who comprise Omkar Investments. They're residents of Templeton. Their primary business is medical practice, but they're also active in development. Their development business model is based on first-class architecture, and we're very, very pleased to be a part of their project. Chris Gage from our office will present just a couple of images of the existing project. I present these only to give you a sense of the quality of the Omkar projects. Sorry.
Look quick.
There we go. This is the existing project. It's diagonally across the street. It's called Omkar Medical Plaza, completed in 2005. The anchor tenant for the proposed project is Heritage Oaks Bank. As you know, they have a strong presence up in the North County. The drive-through was a programmatic requirement for them, and we've tried to be as consistent as we can with the design plan, putting it in a location that would be screened from Las Tablas. Chris, can you throw up a few images of the new project? The materials for the project, brick, there are some limestone facings, thin wall plaster, standing seam metal roofs, a fair amount of detail and fenestration on the building. I'll keep my presentation brief with one minor exception. We're in agreement with the findings, the conditions, and the staff recommendation. With respect to condition of approval number 11, which is a requirement for a SWIP, SWIP requirements, as I believe you're all aware, kick in at an area of disturbance of an acre. Our area of disturbance is somewhat under an acre at about 37,000 square feet. Be assured that all of the best management practices associated with a typical SWIP will be specified and adhered to. We're simply asking for relief from the paperwork processing, the creation of the binder, the reporting, and the regional board permit process. We did speak to the regional board, as I believe staff did as well, and they are in agreement with eliminating the condition.
Could you identify the condition number for us?
Condition of approval number 11.
Thank you.
And could you, rather than say SWIP, would you say what that means for our listening audience?
Stormwater
pollution prevention plan.
I was trying to put an I in there since I always call it a SWIP. With respect to circulation, Josh, if you could put the site plan back up, please. We actually are hoping that the people that are coming from other buildings, we looked at that. The grades could be accommodated. To us, we're really trying to encourage pedestrian circulation, so we felt that the elimination of the three parking spaces wasn't a huge gain for the project. With respect to area of coverage.
No, wait, before you leave that, I didn't quite.
Can we?
Oh, trash thing. What?
If you look where the trash enclosure is, right there. If you look at the adjacent site down below, you can see that it actually was set up to accommodate an eventual driveway through. So if we eliminated three parking spaces and create a little bit of an S-turn maneuver, you actually could circulate between our parking lot and the parking lot next door. After considering that, and again, if it's the pleasure of the commission, we'll be happy to do it. After considering the loss of the three parking spaces and perhaps encouraging people to circulate in their cars instead of on their shoes, we decided that we didn't think it was that important.
Okay, I tend to agree, let's keep the three parking spaces, but what about, you know, somebody can walk, because many of these offices on Las Tablas have back entrances where staff or people park, and, you know, they may get out of their car and want to dash to the bank before they go to work. Is that possible so we could walk there?
Absolutely, yeah. We have no plan to put a fence between the two properties to create some stepping stones or a walkway. Assuming that doesn't get me in trouble with the ADA police back at my office, I don't think that we have any problem with that.
Well, just as long as you didn't put a barrier, I think would be the...
Right. With respect to coverage on site, the Templeton Community Design Plan actually lists the setback on both of these streets as 10 feet. I believe the specific plan lists the setback on Las Tablas as 20, but with respect to the Community Design Plan standard, actually 10 feet of the area that's between the buildings and the street actually counts towards our open space requirement. I'll be honest with you, I did not calculate it before I came here. My gut and looking at it tells me we're probably in the 80% range. I would expect that we are over. But again, the Templeton design plan is envisioning a 10-foot setback on both of those streets. We're providing 20. So some of the area in front of the buildings actually was going towards meeting that requirement. As Josh stated, given property values and demand, there's this balancing act of square footage, which for office buildings is based on how much parking you can provide on the site. So it is a balancing act.
Okay. I think part of the reason for that was permeable surfaces, roofs / parking lots. Could you talk a little bit about your drainage plan? Now we're going to take this area, which I understand doesn't drain too well anyway because of the soils. What's your drainage plan?
For this particular project, we're actually proposing drainage chambers below the parking lots. This would not be a necessarily green technique in terms of permeable pavers. We have very, very fat clays out there. We discussed this on the OMCAR project a couple of years ago across the street. Our soils engineer was not in favor of it, but given the value of land, we didn't want to put a basin on site, and the availability of the Bethel Road basin that's used up is our understanding. So we actually will be putting chambers for detention underneath the parking lots.
Okay, and they detain and eventually it peters out of there?
That's correct.
Over a longer period of time?
Correct.
And what standard are you being held to that?
I would have to defer to my civil engineer, who my understanding is in a meeting with Jill Ogren at the moment across the street.
Okay.
And how is the water percolating down into the chambers?
It would be collected in storm drains. Typically, those storm drains would have some filtration to pick up fossil fuels, and then it would essentially be delivered via a storm drain system into the chambers.
Okay, so continuing on the same one, I'm a little concerned about long-term maintenance, you say, underneath the parking lot. Mm-hmm. So how do they get it in cleaned? Is there some regular protocol to check on those? Or?
I believe the chambers that our civil engineer is looking at are actually fitted with access covers, not, frankly, unlike septic tanks, although these are considerably larger, and they can be pumped out if the need arises. One of the keys to this is avoiding having them fill with sediment, so there will be filtration systems as a part of the storm drain system to filter the water before it goes in.
I'm sorry, I interrupted Miss Christie's train, but I didn't want to leave that one.
I'm a fan of low-tech solutions, but I think the applicant can continue his presentation and we can discuss water quality. Okay.
The site actually, even though it appears relatively flat, there's almost 10 feet of fall across it. I won't suggest to you that we're far enough into the design that I know that those chambers would be allowed to meter out via gravity. There may be some pumps involved. And if there are pumps, there are backup issues for when power.
Given the high architectural value and that would be sort of a consistent look with what you're trying to achieve, and it would also maybe lessen the burden on your engineered system by letting some of that water percolate down and dissipate naturally. Is that something that you've considered or done on other projects or have any experience with?
It is something that we are considering on this project as well as other projects. We have done it in the past, and I expect we'll be doing it on more and more projects in the future. The potential problem on this site, and again, I'm not ruling it out, is when we have these highly expansive, very, very fat clays, introducing water into them makes them swell, and it makes them swell substantially, so you get movement in your parking lot and potentially failures of the surface. It isn't something that we've ruled out on this particular site.
And I don't recall from your pictures. Are there trees in the parking lot? I know I saw strips of trees along the edges, but do you have trees actually in the parking lot itself?
Yes, and the Templeton Community Design Plan talks about shading of parking lots,
okay.
And yes, absolutely.
So then maybe it would be appropriate to look a little closer about doing some of those permeable paver type materials around the trees at least. So if there was some movement of the soils and some root growth, it wouldn't necessarily be a hazard to the drivers or pedestrians. We're trying to encourage those kind of features. And
we'd be happy to take an earnest look at that.
Okay, great.
Are there other questions of the applicant?
Yes, I'm just curious also about the necessity for the two entries. The design plan seems to discourage the entry from the busier road,
Pedestrian or vehicular?
Vehicular in this case.
It really came out of the programmatic requirement from the bank. They said in order to be on this location, and I can't question their business plan, they really, really wanted a drive-through. In order to implement a drive-through on a lot of this configuration, we felt that we needed the two drives. Now, there is a condition of approval for, I believe, right turn maneuvers out only, and that's certainly something that we're very comfortable with. But it really came out of the programming requirement for the drive-through.
Can we put the site plan back up, please? You're speaking of the vehicular access on Las Tablas.
Las Tablas, yes. The design plan calls for locating the vehicular access on the more minor road.
Frankly, if it were not for the drive-through, I would not have the second driveway on Las Tablas. One of the other challenges on this site, and frankly with this site layout, is the design plan talks about the buildings being on the street and the parking being behind. So we've got a little bit of a screening challenge at that driveway. But the client's desire for the drive-through really dictated that site design. We could not come up with an acceptable scheme to bring cars in on Las Tablas, loop them around, and take them back through a drive-through.
Are there other questions of the applicant? Hearing none.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back, close the public hearing, bring it back to the commission.
I had a question for Richard. The applicant wanted to be relieved from his SWIP, the Stormwater Pollution Plan. Did you have any thoughts on that, how we could reword Condition 11 if it...
Richard Marshall, Department of Public Works. I'm comfortable with the, recommending in favor of the applicant's request to simply delete Condition 11. The specific paperwork processing requirements do kick in at an area of 1 acre, and the goals of the requirement are met by other conditions of approval that are still in place. The preparation of drainage, sedimentation, and erosion control plan will address the same concerns.
That's condition number 9, correct?
That's correct. Well, 7 and 9.
7.
Do the regional boards have... I know that the SWIPs were associated with what they're called the Phase 1 permits, and that Phase 2 permits are now being implemented throughout the state that would apply to smaller projects. Do you know if San Luis Obispo?
Well, we're part of Phase 2, and part of the transition was that the threshold used to be 5 acres, and the smaller projects now, that is what established the 1 acre threshold.
Okay.
Okay, next question I had is question 16. The applicant shall implement the PMRP and measures deleted in the as delineated in the PMRP. What's that?
Josh Labum, our planning staff. That's referring to condition number 10, the PMRP that's stated there, the paleo monitoring and recovery plan. If you would like, we could just add that language in there and spell it out and put that PMRP in parentheses.
No, evidently you've got it.
It's a
requirement that at least some circumference around the tree. I mean, we did this, I think, last week, and some circumference around the trees that are used in the landscaping shall be surrounded by semi-permeable surfaces. Or let's try to encourage that a little bit further. Does that...
I would, straw poll-wise, I would normally support that, But this isn't the pomo kind of soils. I'm given to understand after having reviewed quite a few projects in here, the soils here, and Mr. Whittle talked about them, he called them fat soils, or I'm not sure what that meant, but I'm told that their drainage just doesn't exist there. Water stays there, and it rolls off, and I heard what he said about the expansive, so I don't think that's a good idea in this particular spot because of the type of soils that are there.
Even around the trees?
Even around the trees, because you're going to get these roots going to or busting up the pavement, not the roots, but the expanding soils, busting up the pavements and things.
And that's almost the benefit of these interlocking pavers, is that when the roots do expand, those...
No, I was referring to the soils expanding.
Right. Well, the soil expands, the root expands, the surface becomes uneven. The interlocking pavers can be actually removed. You don't have to cut the tree down. The pavers can actually be removed, and the soil can be reworked, and they can be replaced or substituted with another kind of surface. And I don't know. Mr. Whittle said he wouldn't mind doing it around the trees. And
well, then let him do it. I'm reluctant to force, you know, a 5-foot thing because it may make sense for this tree, but not that tree.
Okay. Just trying to get staff in the habit of coming up with a language and using it.
They're listening, I hope.
Would it be pertinent to just maybe add to that condition, would be 7C, some wording that would say low-impact development design utilizing semi-permeable surfaces is recommended?
Well, I guess that really leads me. If we're using the term low-impact development, we must have a definition for it. And is it necessary for us to micromanage all of these?
Yeah. Well, I'll defer to Public Works on the definition, and I think you're right that it may be redundant. Mm. What I was hearing your commission say was that maybe that language specifically referring to the
like
semi-permeable.
All the rest of them.
Right. So that it may be redundant, and I can defer to Public Works if they have any further comments on that.
Well, there exists a standard understanding of the term, but we have not yet adopted the regulations that we're developing to define them within San Luis Obispo County ordinance. So we don't have a specific ordinance authority for requiring them yet. That's part of our work program that lies ahead to comply with the regulations of Phase 2 of the federal requirements.
The presentation that we had on this about 6 or 8 weeks ago, would that be considered the low-impact development?
Yes, that's exactly what that was.
And even though it's not in ordinance form, we do have it presently being implemented. Is that correct?
Yes, we're doing a couple demonstration projects. The county is going to construct some improvements on a road nearby this location, in fact, and incorporate those features. And we also have grant funding for developing a design manual that will then become the specific guidance for what to do when you have this kind of soil, what to do when you have that kind of trees.
So we do have guidelines or definition, I would use the term, of what low-impact development can incorporate.
Yes.
We're working on it.
Work.
The
things take time.
The concept is defined, but the specific implementation measures are not yet.
Okay. Are there further questions?
Yes. Well, I'm still struggling. I'm willing to, I guess, go maybe to 80% lot coverage, then the design plan's recommended 70, and maybe forego some sort of vehicular connection between the parking lots. But I do thoroughly believe in having the main road frontage of the building that the design plan calls for. And I'm a little troubled, I guess, still by this second, the access on the main road, Las Tablas. Is that bothering anyone else? The design plan calls for a sort of continuous sort of Main Street building frontage that's part of this sort of pedestrianism. And we're not encouraging this with that second driveway. And we seem to be doing all this for the sake of a drive-through bank. I don't know. Is that something that's important to us? Maybe it is. It's not to me.
Well,
we're sacrificing a lot for a drive-through bank.
Well, I would suggest not, because I'm thinking of a street because it does traffic calming. That is, the more connections that you have, the more people are more aware of people going in and out, so therefore they tend to drive slow, and so it's a mixed benefit.
I guess the way I get around it is if the restriction on the two driveways were an area plan standard, I'd be inclined to, you know, hold hard by that standard. But given that it's a recommendation of the design plan, combined with the fact that the advisory council, as has been represented by the commissioner from the district, doesn't really have any issues with it, I'm willing to let that one slide. I spent quite a bit of time in this little area last week, and I looked at the site, and I'm neither am I a big fan of drive-through banks, or drive-through fast foods for that matter, but if you're going to have one, it seems like you sort of need to have that kind of circulation that comes in one end and out the other. So I don't love all of the deviations that this project is making. I agree with you. But, you know, collectively with the character of the neighborhood and the design of the project, I'm not going to lose any conscience over it. I guess that's how I view it.
Are there any other comments or questions, or maybe a move to action?
I'll have a motion here, but I have to say I agree with Ms. Christie. These are guidelines, and we could look at each one, and you know, but this one is pretty close to the limit, which is why I did get in contact with the advisory group and say, hey, are you guys okay with this? And if they had not been, I would be, yeah. I'd be putting my foot down, and I would have lots of reasons to make findings for not approving. But I didn't hear that. So with that, I'm ready to recommend that we, or make a motion, that we adopt the negative declarations according to the applicable provisions of CEQA and the Public Resources Code and approve conditional use permit DRC 2005-251 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and conditions listed in Exhibit B. And the only modifications we made, we deleted condition number 11.
Is there a second to the motion?
Yeah, I'll second.
Josh Labomer, planning staff. I just wanted to clarify that there was some discussion revolving a pedestrian and or vehicular connection to the southern lot.
And I got my assurances from Mr. Woodall that he would not put up any barriers to people walking across there.
Okay, and that's sufficient. You don't want any revised site plan to accommodate that. Okay.
Okay, we do have a motion and a second. Any further discussion from the commission? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Rose?
Yes.
Commissioner Melskow?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
I
think you have to push your button again or something.
Go on, way in there.
Yes.
Commissioner Christie?
Yes.
Chairperson Rapa?
Yes. All right. The next item, please.
Next item is a business item. Number 5 is a consideration of a letter of comment from the Planning Commission to the Board of Supervisors. It's in District 4, County File Number DTM 2006-00003, and Marsha Lee and Matt Jensen are staff.
Good morning. The draft letter is in front of you, and we are here for any comments and edits.
Maybe somebody could refresh where we're at here.
Yeah. We were just assuming you could never forget this one, but for those who are just picking up this soap opera halfway through, we were here a couple of weeks ago with an appeal of a planning director's determination on a general plan conformity report. Staff was recommending that the proposed sale of property in Oceano Dunes was consistent, or it did conform, and the Planning Commission ultimately decided that it did not. So we are back today with what we heard in the form of a draft letter, and we have it up on the screen, and we're ready to make any proposed changes that you have to the letter. I'll start by saying that we're going to propose deletion of number 3. You may remember that we had a discussion last time about the CEQA determination for the general...
It's been contentious, but I wouldn't describe it as World War II.
We have no clue.
Okay.
Bad move, buddy.
Matt, your point is well taken that the general plan conformity report in and of itself is not subject to CEQA, but number 3 is an accurate statement. It was the sale itself that was determined to be categorically exempt, and the commission did discuss that as part of our deliberations. And while it's not precisely on point to whether or not the sale is in conformity with the general plan, it does relate directly to the way the sale is being processed by the county, and I think it's good information, and it's something that was of concern, and I'd like to see number 3 left in. I think it's informative to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay, we understand. We think from a strictly technical standpoint that it's not applicable. But we understand that if the commission wants to take a position on the CEQA determination on the sale, that, you know, you have the right to. We just didn't think it was appropriate for the forwarding of comments on the general plan conformity report itself.
And I think the following statement is sort of clears that up, because it says the Planning Commission respectfully requests that the Board of Supervisors consider these comments when the proposed sale of the county-owned property is heard and acted on. So... And we would like them to consider that, I think.
Madam Chair, may I make a suggestion?
Certainly.
Maybe the issue is simply to remove number 3 from underneath the preamble that says it's not in conformance with the general plan for the following reasons. Have reason 1, reason 2, then put in a new preamble that says the Planning Commission has the further concern,
Perfect.
And that way you're not linking number 3 to the general plan conformity call,
perfect,
and you're still making the point.
Perfect solution, Mr.
Okay. I would agree with that. I had a comment just going up a little bit further. It seems to me it would be useful in our opening paragraph or sentence that we would say that somebody from the public appealed the conformity report and the Planning Commission took testimony and upheld that appeal, and then for the following reasons.
We'd be happy to insert that. I can tell you that between your action 2 weeks ago and today, we have received 2 appeals of your action. So we will be going to the Board of Supervisors and putting that kind of historical background in the staff report.
Okay.
All right. Just for general interest, were those appeals necessary? I mean, it goes to the Board anyway, right? I mean,
the sale,
is there a process for appealing?
The sale is acted on, obviously, by the Board, but the general plan conformity determination, if we hadn't received an appeal by 5 o'clock today, would have ended with your determination 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So then the Board, in fact, will determine whether it conforms to the general plan or not.
They will act on both, and we have a tentative hearing date for both of those actions of April 17th.
Are there further comments on the letter? We do have one request for someone to speak on the letter. We did close the public hearing last time, but since this is somewhat of a new item, I don't know, people are shaking their head. Ms. Langford, do you need to speak or do you wish to speak? You turned in a speaker slip.
If I may.
Come forward, please. Nell Langford, we'll open the public hearing on the letter.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Oddly, I would like for nothing that happens here to change anything that is on that splendid letter, and I commend staff and you for coming up with those three items. I think they're extremely important. Larry Bross couldn't be here anyway. He has an appointment, a medical appointment in Sacramento or up north. I would like to know who is appealing this. There is a Channel 21 is airing a meeting that was held in Oceano recently.
Ms. Langford, yes. This is on our letter. We appreciate your comments. Okay. I'm sure that staff can pull you in on whatever appeals whatever are going on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is this. Since our Board of Supervisor, Mr. Cacho Asajian, has in that meeting that's airing on Channel 21 stated that he is against this and plans to appeal it himself, should he or should he not recuse himself from consideration at the board level? Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who cares to speak on this item? Seeing no one else, I will close the public hearing, bring it back to the commission on the disposition of the letter that's before us.
For discussion of it, I support the letter as...
Public discussion. Do we need a motion on this or... Is just this sort
We'd probably be more comfortable with a motion in a second.
Right.
Well, it's not my district, but Eugene, I don't know, Eugene wasn't here, so I don't, does he vote on?
No, I'm not voting on this.
Okay, well then I would like to move that the commission forward this draft letter with the two changes that were discussed earlier. The first being to remove the numeral 3 from the third paragraph and replace it with a separate preamble that, in addition to the previous concerns. And also to add Commissioner Rose's suggestion that the fact that an appeal was filed and the appeal was upheld. With those changes that we forward this letter to the Board of Supervisors.
And I'll second that.
Any further discussion on the letter? Well, let's be real clean. Roll call then.
Commissioner Christie?
Yes.
Commissioner Rose?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
Chairperson Rapa?
Yes.
And I would just like to add for the point of public information that coincidentally, the Coastal Commission's annual review of this permit is going to be heard a week from today. That's February 15th in San Diego. And also coincidentally, I guess this makes it a double coincidence, that's going to be the first meeting of the California Coastal Commission that's fully live web streamed and available to the public via the internet. So anybody who's listening to this discussion today that wants to hear the commission's discussion, I'm sure these issues will be brought up by members of the public. You can access that meeting at www.slow-span.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Christie. All right. Will the clerk please introduce the next item?
This is another business item, number 6, consideration of a letter of comment from the Planning Commission to the Board of Supervisors. This is County File Number DTM 2006-00004, and Murray Wilson is staff.
For the record, I will be stepping down on this item. I am employed by one of the perhaps recipients of some of this lot transfer.
Good morning, Commissioners. Excuse me. Good morning, Commissioners. Murray Wilson, planning staff. If you recall, you directed the planning staff to come back at this meeting with a similar letter stating why...
Excuse me. Before you leave, Mr. Melskow, did you want to comment that you were leaving here? For the record here? You're just bored with it all? You haven't got the bathroom?
For the record, yeah. I was not here when this was originally considered, and so I need to recluse myself from the discussion today.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Murray.
Okay, for the three remaining commissioners, if you recall the January 25th hearing when the planning staff came with a receive and file. Your commission voted to not receive and file this item and directed our staff to come back with a letter in a draft format for your commission to review in regards to why your commission felt that it did not meet the ordinance requirements or was not consistent with the general plan. I have included, which you should all have a copy of, a package which explains the issue areas that we are writing in and the one that we did not write in, and I'll give you an explanation of item number one on the first page, excuse me, the email to your commission, which was the proposed transfer of properties is not consistent with open space policy 5. We did address that item. And the second item you asked us to address in the letter was that the proposed transfer of property is not consistent with the update to the Cambria Community Plan. I have gone back and reviewed the Cambria Community Plan and determined that this transfer would be in conformity with the proposed draft plan. There are not any standards in the proposed plan that preclude transfer of meters to special project areas. Those were all either existing or future requirements of the Community Services District. In that package, I attached the information off their website that talks about upcoming hearings for Special Project Areas 2, and there is also the existing ordinance in your package which has the restriction on transferring of meters to Special Project Areas 1. Finally, in your package was a letter from the General Services Department discussing further discussion on the contract language and previous hearing, but General Services thought it may be of value to discuss that if you are interested.
Do you guys understand that?
A little.
I'm not interested. I don't think it's germane to this discussion.
Yeah, I just don't know what it's doing. I mean, it's not a. I mean, I thought what we were looking at was a general plan conformity report of the transfer of properties with certain stipulations. And I mean, if Chevron wants to pave the Cambria East Village parking lot, that's great, but why is it in a general plan conformity report about open space lots and affordable housing?
I can see somebody from General Services going to make me interested.
Good morning, Commissioners. I am Karen Madalena, your real property manager for the County of San Luis. I'm with the Department of General Services, and I actually authored this letter. You're right, Commissioner Christie. It doesn't necessarily have to do specifically with the general plan conformity report. What we were trying to represent here is that it's part of kind of a package that we've been working on with the Community Services District. So it was just a point of information, and I certainly hope that that clarifies why we put this in the letter.
So what you're hoping that we're going to do today is reverse our previous action and find that it's in conformance, and I mean, is that your recommendation?
Well, that's completely up to your board, but what I was wanting to do is represent the bigger picture.
Okay. Agreed. For me, what this new information does is actually make me a little bit more comfortable with our findings of nonconformity for this reason. It was stated that the Cambria plan prevented the transference of water meters, and so we were a little concerned about that. But in fact, that's not in our land use documents. That's in the Community Services regulations, which are going to, I think, take effect in September. So that which had been viewed as a possible constraint, to my mind, is no longer a constraint. So I think what the road we were going down last meeting was really the appropriate road, that those two lots that had issues, one was the green space, this lot that Green Space was interested in, that has habitat value, that's adjacent to existing green space properties that have been preserved for their habitat value, but that should not be considered as an affordable housing site, nor should the site that, I forget, it was on Sheffield or the one that was visible from Highway 1 that had viewshed issues. Neither should that one be considered for affordable housing. But the other two, I mean, Habitat has two water meters. If you take those other two lots off the list, that leaves two lots for affordable housing, which is all they can use anyway. And then everything else goes as open space. That seems to meet everybody's needs here. And I just wonder if we could maybe either make that recommendation to the board or rework the proposal and bring that back for findings of conformity, or if we could just make those conformity findings right here, right now, and send that on to the board. I see that as a no-downside solution.
But, again, I think we're marching towards stuff that is not within our purview. What's going on here is the planning director made this determination and was too late to do anything about it. The appeal period was over. And so we sat here in our infinite wisdom says, you know, this doesn't make a lot of it.
Right.
This doesn't seem to conform to our general plan. And we wrote a letter. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're talking about. I mean, do we want to add stuff to this letter? Do we want to subtract stuff from this letter? Isn't that all we're...
No, I just want to fix it. So here we are. Let's fix it.
Fix what?
I do feel like we've received some new information. Some of my concerns have been addressed by this information, and we understood at our last meeting that the conformity issue with the Cambria Community Plan that is now going through Coastal Commission, that this wouldn't conform to that, and we've since learned that that isn't an issue. And that was one of my primary concerns. You'd think after all the times I'd read it, you know, I might have known. But now we're hearing that this isn't an issue. So I do believe we've received some new information. So we're not just editing a letter here. I think with this information, we could maybe do something differently. We could maybe find some conformity. If we could rework this, possibly. Can we do that?
Certainly. This is a draft letter that can be reworked, but I think I'd like to point out, after I introduced myself as Warren Hogue of the Department of Planning and Building, that we've already taken the liberty in this draft letter of removing the reference to nonconformity.
Title that we didn't understand would be there from our last meeting.
Well, your commission clearly can revise this letter on that point.
So I would like that we would do that. I think our concerns have been addressed.
So,
and we can,
Commissioner White, can you clarify that for me? The open space parcel that Green Space was interested in is General Services saying they're willing now to not? You're willing to put an open space easement over that parcel and not have it be considered for affordable housing?
Linda Van Fleet, General Services. Good morning to the Commission. No, we are actually not proposing that. We are proposing, since actually three of the four properties would not conform to the CCSD's requirements, not requirements, recommendations, suggestions for receiving a transferred water meter, that we are not going to specify which of the properties would be for affordable housing. We are also have inserted a paragraph in the draft contract that allows for properties to be transferred out as a substitute for the properties that might be identified as affordable housing.
Well, there's only four that have been identified for affordable housing. The other 10 are off the table. There's not substituting any of those 10.
And we are going to deed restrict prior to transfer those properties to open space.
And that's prior to transfer, not require. Okay.
Prior to transfer.
Okay, I'm glad that's been fixed.
We thank the commission for that recommendation. It was an excellent recommendation. Regarding the other four, however, we don't know how they will actually fall out. It, in fact, could all four wind up being open space. That would happen if other properties were brought forth from the CCSD or Habitat for Humanity, or the community working in conjunction with both of those groups to transfer other parcels in exchange.
And if that happened, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
And that could still happen with the solution that I'm advocating for, because while three of the four properties are inconsistent with the CSD's recommendations, And while, of course, it's good for intergovernmental agency cooperation is always a good thing, our primary charge here is consistency with our own general plan and LCP. Our primary charge here is not to find consistency with the CSD's suggested policies about water meter transfers. Mm-hmm. So if we can meet those needs, that's great, but that's not our primary charge. So given the fact that we have open space policies that would support the green space lot going into open space, and given that we have LCP policies that would discourage building in the Highway 1 viewshed on that other parcel, which I can't remember what street it was on, but the gentleman came and testified.
Hudson.
Given that the Hudson lot has viewshed issues, those are directly grounded in our LCP policies. So in order to make general plan consistency findings, I think the cleanest way to get there is to designate those other two parcels that, you know, may or may not be inconsistent with the CSD's recommendations on water meters, but are clearly more consistent with our LCP policies than the two previously discussed lots. Make those be the two that are on the table for Habitat for Humanity. They can build on those lots, or they can use their water meters on some other lots that they trade those lots out for, or, you know, whatever. But make those two the affordable housing target parcels. Put everything else into open space, deed restrict the lots before they get transferred, and then we're all happy.
With the exception that Romney, the one of the other two that remain,
mm-hmm.
is in SPA 1, which Special Projects Area 1, which is identified in the draft plan, and has the same conflict that Hudson would have.
It has viewshed issues?
No, it's a wildlife corridor or something. I'm sorry, I'm not.
Is it adjacent to existing conservation lands, like the green space lot was?
I don't know. But I do know that it is in a special projects area.
Mm-hmm.
So we would remain with one lot only. They have fantastic water meters to create two affordable housing homes and no place to transfer them to.
Okay, that which all seems to be a separate issue of why are we here? Maybe help me out with this.
Thank you, Matt Jansen. Yeah, my wheels were turning on, unfortunately, a procedural issue. So I guess I'll start by saying I think that some of the suggestions that Commissioner Christie is recommending are extremely worthwhile, and it's possible for you as the commission to communicate those to the board. But we need to remember where we're at today. You are not sitting today making a determination of conformity. That has been made. Last time, you decided not to receive and file. That's the action you took. And in addition to that, you recommended that we put together a letter to the board on the action that they would take regarding the properties. So I think what I'd like to maybe do is steer you towards some of these recommended ideas, maybe either going into a new letter or some other form of recommendations to the board, but I just want to remind you that you're not making a conformity determination.
Well, yes and no. We saw one got made, and we wanted to weigh in with our planning expertise and say, you know, maybe something wasn't right here. But it sounds like at least we've dealt with 10 lots already. It seems if we were to get this today for a new general plan conformity request. I understand we're not, but if we were, man, we got 10 of them that are going to meet the requirement. General Services is going to put this open space easement on it, and we're complying with open space policy 5. Well, I voted against not receiving and file, so if Commissioner Wyatt wants to receive and file and move on, I'm okay with that. If she wants to change her vote.
Would receiving and filing make this result in this letter not going forward to the board?
May I weigh in?
Sure.
Vice Chair.
We're in a sticky situation
okay,
here.
Okay, you've already reached a decision point. You did it at your last meeting.
Yeah.
We're not going to receive and file this report. What you instructed us to put on the agenda and what's before you today is a letter to the board explaining your action. What you could do with this letter is first explain to the board why you chose to not receive and file at the last meeting. And that could be possibly the letter pretty much the way it is now. But then you could go on in the letter to say you've received some additional information that you would like the board to consider. But I don't believe that you're in a position today to change your decision to not receive and file. And this is where I'll look at our esteemed counsel and see if he disagrees with my interpretation.
I'm Tim McNulty with the County Council's office. I think, you know, if your board had taken an action on a development application, for example, or a general plan amendment or something like that, then I would agree with Mr. Hoag's advice that you can't undo your action once you've taken it. At that point, it's only appealable. However, given that what you did was to agree to not do something, to not receive and file it, if there were two votes today to receive and file the general plan conformity report, whether or not you agreed also to send a letter to the Board of Supervisors, I believe you could agree.
But that's not what vote
to do it today.
But that's not what was posted and agendized as
well,
part of our
that's
action.
That's true. You're right. That, it does raise an agenda issue that
yeah.
I hadn't thought about. So it would, we would have that problem would be that.
I mean, I think that's a
significant
problem.
Some of you thought that you had already decided not to receive and file it might
yeah.
not have been noticed about your action.
Yeah, because there were members of the public who were here and were concerned about that specific thing, and they're not here today because they don't think we're, you know, revising.
That's a good point.
That.
You should just send a letter to the board. Then.
Okay. I have one more question for the representative from General Services. It's with respect to the lot that Greenspace had been interested in historically. And it says you went back through your files and you had, in response to Mr. Hawley's letter in 2000, done an appraisal
mm-hmm.
and filed a general plan conformity report in 2001. But then it says no surplus and sale fee was received from the applicant, which would have continued the process toward completion. Was the applicant notified in a letter that the property was actually available to him and what the purchase price would have been?
I have no letter in the file indicating that.
Okay.
I have, however, spoken since with Richard Hawley.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have a recollection of what stopped the process either. We hadn't been processing it in good faith,
mm-hmm.
Doing everything that we would need to do. And our checklist shows
that isn't made clear in this, we're lacking.
What I'm hearing from you, you want to add another sentence or two to this letter.
I do, because I do believe we have received some new information that needs to go into this. My thinking changes with that information.
And could you roughly summarize what your sentence or two would be?
Well, I very much liked whose idea was it to kind of first explain, as this letter does, why we chose not to receive and file. And then to go on that we have received some additional information, that it's not in conflict with the community plan, as we had been told at the last meeting. Also, we had heard, or I had understood at the last meeting, that several of these lots were in the CCSD area that will not be transferring meters. I had understood that that would take effect soon. Maybe September is relatively soon, but that's still not, that's a number of months away. So it is possible that these lots could be transferred before September.
That's an awful long sentence.
Well, I need help because I don't have the wording. But these are changes, so someone help me. This is new information to me that I just received yesterday that I had not understood at our last meeting. So I do think it's relevant information. And I would have voted differently quite probably had I understood this 2 weeks ago.
Okay, what I'm trying to do here is clarify for the public what we're doing here. We're not selling any lots today. We're not transferring anything. All we're doing, we're either going to send this letter as is or we're going to add something, or we're going to subtract something from it. That's all that's before us today. And with that, I'm ready to go to the public comment, unless staff's got any more.
Linda. Go ahead.
We would be grateful if there could be some additional comment in the letter. Anything that would be in support of affordable housing would help to reduce the impact of a literal reading of OSP number policy number 5, which says that we should keep them as open space. We read that as a recommendation, not a requirement. If it were read as a requirement, there would be no affordable housing as a result of this transaction, and we are looking for that opportunity. Mm-hmm.
But maybe you could sit down and to me, that's you're hitting on how I think, at least I feel, and I kind of guess Commissioner Wyatt feels the same way. Am I right on that? You know, that's the additional little paragraph that we need to add to this.
And I agree as well. I just want the development to go on to occur on the parcels with the least amount of habitat value and other environmental constraints. That's where I'm coming from. I don't think we should just completely sacrifice habitat and other resource values for affordable housing. I think affordable housing is incredibly important, but I don't think it's affordable housing, uber alles. And so if there's, 2 meters and 4 sites, I think the 2 meters should go on the least environmentally sensitive sites, which based on the testimony, I'm pretty clear on which sites those are. So I was trying to direct the development into the least environmentally sensitive locations.
Okay, so far we've got additions, something to the effect of, and somebody hope write this down, that we have, when received new information, that this is no longer in disagreement with the proposed Cambria area plan, and that tender lots will in fact be encumbered by an open space easement, leaving 4
prior to transfer,
and where I lost my train here, and that of the 4 where we support affordable housing, but it should take place on the least environmentally sensitive lots.
Correct.
We recognize that that's not an exact compliance with open space policy 5, but it's a should thing, and we're weighing affordable housing versus, am I there?
Yeah, is that I'm kinda in agreement with that. There.
Okay, and with that, okay, well, you guys work up some real wording from that. Now, that's the, that's where the commission at least is kind of sitting now. So if you want to agree with that or you want to disagree with that, now's the time. If you don't like this transfer, that's not the time. This is now is not the time to talk about it. We're talking about our letter.
Mr. Chair, you also wanted the first part of the letter just tweaked enough to explain that this is why we took the original action. And
right.
Then after
right.
That part, then we talk about the new additional information. And,
right.
Okay.
Okay. And so my first speaker is Urban O'Hanassan, and followed by Jerry Evans.
Well, I kind of screwed that in comparable sales because we bought the 2 lots behind us to build a new garage, and we paid a lot more than $650. But I, if you look at the general plan of the area and the land use, about 1/4 to 1/3 of the urbanized area is on Lodge Hill, and I really feel that there's a passive recreational area there that is being used by green space in those lots that they now have, and it would just enhance that to have additional area there. Those lots are very heavily vegetated. There are 2 30-inch pine trees. I know the staff report doesn't say that, and a number of live oak trees, coast oak trees. And the oak trees, when I had to replace those, are 4 to 1. The pine trees are 2 to 1, so... But anyway, I do like what you're doing. I think they should be considered again. I did go to the CCSD board and made basically the same report that I'm making to you folks. One thing I might add, if you did have some free staff time in your planning department. There needs to be a forest management plan worked up or developed, and even an assessment district, which I would be welcome to pay into. That forest is aging. It needs a lot of help. It needs some clearing, the underbrush and stuff. Not enough is being done. Our home has been hit four times, twice by county trees. The last time was very devastating. But anyway, thank you for your work you do here, and appreciate it. Thank you. Any questions?
Okay.
No questions.
Jerry Evans, followed by Sean Lee.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm Jerry Evans. I live on Special Area Project 2 in Cambria. I'm not going to speak today, and maybe speak some later date. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lee, followed by Ken Prohaska.
Good morning. My name is Sean Lee, and thank you for your time. However, at this time, I'm going to save my comments for the upcoming supervisors meeting. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Prohaska, followed by Tammy Ruda.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I was a little confused about when you talked about the new information.
Give me your name, please.
Oh, I'm Ken Prohaska. You called me up here. And at the last meeting when I did speak, I did concede that there was no discrepancy between Cambria's ordinances now. My issue was that September of 2000, you would not be able to transfer a meter into that special projects area too. And my position was you should kind of try to have some congruence between their intention and what was going on here. So, and I know you're talking about the letter, and I appreciate Commissioner Christie's points that I think this could be solved if you took these two properties off, or the recommendation went in and said, look, there's two other pieces of property, you can deal with that, as opposed to kind of violating your own spirit and intention, both upcoming for Special Projects Area 2, as well as currently where they discourage transfer of water meters to lots that are substandard, undersized, 25 by 70. So it sounds to me like you're going to get some of that wording in there. As I say, I did last time, hopefully I didn't mislead anybody. I knew that right now it fits, but as of September, they will not allow transfers, and that property in Special Projects Area 2 does not currently have a water meter listing. So it would require a transfer, and my problem was it looks like there's this small window. This is the same thing I said to CCSD right after the last meeting. I went and made the same point. You're violating the spirit, if not the intention, of the law. That's all I want to say at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say to Mr. Prohaska, I didn't feel misled at all. The question was whether or not our LCP policies were precluding those water meter transfers, and that's what's gotten cleared up today. You were perfectly clear in your previous testimony.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Ruda has declined, but do you have a question for Ms. Ruda?
Yes.
You got to come up anyway.
He's here.
And that was the last speaker slip I had.
Well, just
Tammy Rudock, Cambria CSD General Manager.
Ms. Rudock, just for our understanding, maybe it's not exactly within the realm of what we're trying to do here, but would Services District be comfortable with having some kind of recommendation to this extent that the two lots with the least environmental impacts and be chosen?
I don't believe the district would have a problem. I just want to defer until we are finished with negotiations with Habitat for Humanity. Obviously, the district is a strong proponent of preserving the habitat and the environmental resources that we have within our community. But as stated earlier, some of the other lots are in special projects areas, which those designations are there for that exact reason as well. So it's going to be a challenge, but we're up for it, and we won a few years ago.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I don't see your speaker slip.
No, I came in a little bit late.
And I'm sure you'll fill one out for us.
I sure will, absolutely. Jerry Winnery with Habitat for Humanity and a resident of Creston. Member of the Board of Habitat for Humanity, San Luis Obispo County. Background on those two water permits, quite a number of years ago, Habitat for Humanity worked with a CCSD. This is probably 8 years ago we started, and got them to include in the regulations that five permits per year would be allowed for building for affordable housing by nonprofit agencies such as Habitat for Humanity, and this would be apart and separate from any other water meter allocations that exist for Cambria.
Yeah.
And we did have a large lot donated to Habitat for Humanity in Cambria, and subsequently applied for water permits. We applied for two because it looked like we were going to be able to divide that large lot into two. Now it appears as though it may not be buildable because of the slope and so forth. But those are that's the lot that we're talking about trying to exchange with the CCSD for some other buildable lots. I'm glad it's not my decision as to receive and file or not receive and file or whatever that means, you know. All I know is that, you know, we have looked at a lot of lots all over the county.
Mm-hmm.
And find it very difficult to find lots to build on. Our objective of the board for San Luis Obispo is to get on pace with building 5 affordable units per year as a minimum. We haven't reached that yet, but that's our goal. And we hope by 2009 to be on track to be building 5 per year. That means we have to find lots to build them on. Obviously, we would like to see and would like to encourage the commission to recommend that they not place any restriction on any of the 14 lots and let the community services district and the local community make the determination in their wisdom of the usefulness for both habitat preservation and Habitat for Humanity or some other affordable housing. Let them make the determination because they have the most intimate knowledge, of course, of the usefulness of the properties and the appropriateness of the properties. But obviously that's not a possibility, but we'd sure like to see it as open as possible that these are not stipulated that all 14 or perhaps even 10 of them be restricted upon transfer and let the CCSD and the local community decide and staff decide which ones might be usable. We have reviewed a lot of properties in Cambria and scratched them out ourselves because they just were not buildable. And they are excellent preservation areas, but it's extremely difficult to find ones that are buildable. So, you know, with that said, we'd like to encourage you to not restrict any of them. But we understand that you know there is some something to be protected here, and we're certainly in favor of not only providing affordable housing but also providing habitat for use in the future. Any questions for Habitat?
Oh, thank you very much. Okay. Oh, so kind as to fill out one of these speaker slips for us.
Excuse me, while you're here, sir.
Yes.
Just so, as you said, from your perspective of building the housing, no restrictions would be the best. But so would the language then that the development be on parcels with the fewest constraints?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Would this language that we've thrown out, that development be on the 2 parcels with the fewest constraints, that could work for you, your organization?
I guess that certainly would. However, I guess my question is, why restrict it to 2? Just because we currently have 2 water permits that we can use?
Mm-hmm.
Why restrict it to 2? We'd love to build 5 next year.
Because we were told that these were the last of the 2 water meters that were available for affordable housing. This is the end of the list. We've exhausted the list.
This is not true.
That's
it happens to be that we've been allocated 2, but we can actually get 5 per year.
Okay, at the last Planning Commission hearing, we were told that this is the end of the list of the affordable meters that were available. Am I the only one that remembers that?
It's messy. I should bring her up.
Maybe Ms. Rudo will probably know.
We haven't talked. I have communicated with her predecessor.
I'm Tammy Rudock again. That's the CCSD wait list. He's referring to what I am going to jump out there and say is some legislation that he could actually come to our board and say that he's got families and he wants the water, and we are currently working with district council with regard to that legislation, that we may have to consider that if affordable housing companies or organizations come to us, and that's throughout the community or throughout the county, that the board would have to consider that.
That's new law or that's legislation that's pending?
I think it's within the past year or two.
There's actually, it's been longer ago than that, but there was actually written.
Yes, we'll do. Okay, I got it.
Linda Van Fleet, General Services. We worked with planning to identify
10 of the properties that were some not even having a road whatsoever to them, excessive slope. We identified 10 right off the bat that didn't even need further evaluation. Yeah. It would never be affordable to build.
Okay, I understand it. Okay, so now has somebody come up with their letter or wording? Read it into the record, and we can get a motion, and we'll wind this up here.
Well, I have a I have a stab at what Mr. Rose put together, and let's see here. Your commission wanted to add additional information to the existing letter that would state there is not a conflict with the proposed community plan, and that development that would occur on the remaining four parcels would be chosen on the least two sensitive parcels as far as environmental constraints go, and also that the 10 open space lots prior to transfer will be deed restricted prior to transfer. And an additional explanation in the letter on why the change of the decision was made.
They're not changing their decision.
They're not changing our decision.
I think you need to begin what you read with a preamble that says, based on additional information received at our February 8th meeting, we would like to make the following additional comments. So the first part of the letter stands as written because it explains their original decision. I'm presuming that that's acceptable to the commission.
Right. This didn't look like it was ready for press just yet.
I think we need to go back and wordsmith it
a little more,
and then we can send it out to you.
Okay, so you're going to send it to me to sign, or you're going to put it back on our consent agenda? I hate to do this again.
I'm not sure what the timing is for this going to the board. No, that's Oceana Dunes.
Oceana Dunes is...
The tentative date is March 13th. Is that... Yeah, March 13th.
So that would seem that it needs to get out right away.
Yeah.
So if you capture that and give me the letter, I'll sign it. If it's agreeable with the rest of our commission here.
It sounded like the points we needed covered were covered. So if the wording can be cleaned up a bit, I'm comfortable with it.
And I'm just going to talk to Jim, you know, and tell him what went down.
Well, maybe your motion could also say that you approve the letter subject to final review by the chair, or by the vice chair in this case.
Sure.
Okay. You know that it says these things, and that
Hey, somebody make that motion. Let's get out of here.
I make that motion. Except I do have one question for staff, just for clarification. When this goes to the board, seeing that these are going to be deed restricted before they're transferred, will the actual language of the conservation easement be included in that packet? Will that be available for public review?
I'm Tim McNulty. I don't know. It will be the General Services Department receives its legal advice from another attorney in my office, and she'd be working with them to put together that package. So I don't know the answer to that question.
My understanding has always been that the board approves conservation easements. That's the argument that has been used against my suggestion that we should review conservation easements. We've been told by county council the board reviews the conservation easements, and so you guys don't need to. So I just want to make sure that because there have been issues, we've heard testimony, there have been issues with the previous conservation easements recorded by the CSD. I just would like the opportunity for the public to be able to review the conservation easements that are going to protect these properties.
Yeah, I think the form of restriction that is proposed is very important as well. And I don't know what form it will take. I don't even know if it will be a conservation easement, to be honest with you. I don't think I ever heard General Services say that was the form that they intended to use. So I would think that anyone who's interested in that ought to pay close attention to it and try to get a look at what the board is going to do when that package is presented to the board.
They could take a close look at it if it was included in part of the packet, which is what I'm trying to get to.
I don't know if they actually present the deeds to the board. I doubt they do, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
It is our intention to include it in the transfer agreement, and presented to the board will be the deed to be used to transfer the 10 lots with a deed restriction, not a conservation easement. A deed restriction. We will work with General Services Council to make sure that it's tight.
Great.
The other addendum will be the conservation easement that the CCSD would be required to use in
the other business today?
I think not.
Okay, as I see the last two remaining commissioners come in the door, I'm looking for another motion.
That we accept all the evidence today into the record? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, it's something to that effect. We receive all the correspondence into the public record today.
There you go.
Is there a second to that?
Yes, I'll second it.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. How about you guys? You going to go over there?
I agree.
Aye.
Okay, it was 5-0. All right. And with that, we're adjourned until when?
February 22nd.
Thank you very much.
Well,